All right, everyone. Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will reconvene. Next up on our agenda is item number 15, discussion of possible action. This is the USA Parkway Tower Project interlocal agreement. Mr. Dean.
James Dean, Story County IT Director. Come to you, Commissioners, with an interlocal agreement between Story County and the Nevada Department of Transportation. This is to provide access to the proposed radio tower site at the top of the ridge overlooking USA Parkway. This is to improve public safety, radio communications, and potential internet disbursement for that area. There have been a couple of fatalities, and NDOT's been putting some pressure to try and get that lit up as soon as possible. This is the first step, providing them access. NDOT has agreed to construct the site, install the tower, and put in power and facilities for co-location of radio equipment, and we're going to partner with them on that. And this will be the first county-owned radio site that we've ever had, so we're beginning to reduce our dependence on interlocals with other counties or even state agencies, and we're actually going to own this one, so it's going to give us a little bit more control. We won't have to worry about future growth as much because we're being allowed to have a significant rack in this building. This tower site will probably carry the county for 100 years in that area.
That's great, because I know we've got a communications issue out in that area. So
right.
It's going to be great.
And it's just a sizable chunk of land by the time you have both the pad and the roads and everything that we use to get to it. And this is coming to us gratis from Roger Norman and Commissioner Gilman. They would have sold it to NDOT, but since the county's a 50-50 partner on this, the cost to us is nothing. So
that's great.
Good deal.
Yeah. They should get credit where the credit's due, too.
Absolutely.
James, what's the coverage area? Is it like USA or the 80 corridor and 50 corridor?
It actually is kind of shadowed out of the 80 corridor, the way that the canyon is between, say, Silver Springs and the Switch building. It's just so tight and narrow in there. The actual coverage area is fairly small. It's right in between that little canyon.
Right.
So it's not going to provide a large blanket coverage for the region, but it does provide coverage basically from Silver Springs all the way to Switch, even via ground wave. So it should significantly improve ambulance, fire, NHP, all the trunk systems in the state.
And then I think, and you've been primary point on this for quite some time, but at one stage there was actually an extra tower involved.
Correct.
And I believe our plans are still to consider installing that tower at our Career Drive facility, which should give us some...
Right. We offered NDOT a 110-foot tower, and they're like, I don't think we need it that tall, and we already have our own, so keep yours.
Okay.
We'll probably end up putting that tower down at the McCarran Government Center and maybe doing a point-to-point or even hopping over one of Switch's water tanks or something like that to get some internet connectivity out there.
Terrific.
So I would make a motion that we approve the project. I know, the interlocal. I know that Keith has looked at it. The legal for NDOT has looked at it. Fairly standard interlocal agreement.
Okay. Thanks for the recommendation. Okay. Well, we'll open up for public comment. Good public comment. And this is pretty cut and dry here. So, Commissioner McGuffey, I need a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the USA Parkway Tower Project interlocal agreement.
I'll second your motion. Moved and second to approve the USA Parkway Tower Project and local agreement. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Thank you, James. Moving up to item number 16, discussion of possible action. Virginia City Commission appointments. Excuse me, Virginia City Tourism Commission appointments. A, appointment of Corrado de Gasparis of the Gold Hill Hotel to the vacant hotel seat on the Virginia City Tourism Commission, effective January the 2nd, 2018. B, reappointment of Ron Gallagher at large position and Angelo Petrini, the business district representative. Mr. Dodson, you want to handle this?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Denny Dodson for the record. And the board makeup of the Tourism Commission is made up of obviously a county commissioner, representative from the hotel industry, representative from the motel industry, a business at large, or business district, excuse me, and then an at-large position. With this, we do have an outgoing person there with a hotel representative, which is Mr. Scott Jolcover, who's here today in the audience. And before we move forward, I'd like to say thank you to Scott. Many, many years, highly paid position, like you mentioned, Mr. Chairman, but actually just giving back a lot to the community in that position. There's a lot that they do. They support me, and I wouldn't near be as successful, or our team be as successful, if we didn't have Scott's leadership as a chairman over the last several years. So with that, I wish him well. But that leaves an open spot, and with that, we had the applicant. We posted it in the paper, and one of those that applied was Mr. DeGasperis, and who I would recommend the board's approval today to fill out a good seat.
Very good. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Scott, for your service. I know this was your second round on this, and we'll look forward to the third round in the future, bringing you back again when we end up with a vacancy. Okay. How about if we open this up for public comment?
For the record, Sam Toll, Gold Hill. I heard some back chatter from some of my sources. Mr. Loomis, do you have any comment on why this vacancy was made available, why Mr. Jolcover is no longer on the board?
I have no comment on it.
Okay. So I do know that I've spoken to a couple of different folks who own hotels and are actively participating in the day-to-day operations of these types of businesses. And I do know that while Mr. DeGasperis is the physical landholder, the guy who owns the title of the Gold Hill Hotel, he's not participating in the day-to-day operations of it. And so my question would be to everyone, would there did we do some outreach to other folks who actually run hotels and might have a better finger on the pulse of those industries before we selected him?
Well, as Denny pointed out, it was advertised, and not everybody who is in the business wants to participate in the business. Is one of the past chairmen, as she no longer wanted to participate. It takes too much out of her time of running her own business. That's why she no longer wanted to participate in it as well.
Not to mention the compensation, which is non-existent. All right, very good. So so it was advertised. I must have missed the advertising. But
Okay, I didn't want to be standing corrected. It was advertised. It was advertised, yes.
All right, very good. Excellent. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Hearing none. Commissioner McGuffey, if I can get a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the appointment of Corrado DeGasperis. And reappoint Ron Gallagher and Angela Petrini, along with the county commissioner, to make up the VCTC board.
I'll second your motion. It's been moved and second to reappointment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Great. Thank you, Denny. All right. Right now we're going to go ahead and recess as the Story County Board of County Commissioners and convene as the Story County Brothel License Board. First up will be item number 18, discussion of possible action. This is a work card appeal for Justine Hadera. Did I pronounce that correctly?
A few minutes of indulgence, gentlemen. Just give me a second.
Sure. Give me time, George.
Good morning, Board, and obviously Happy New Year. Joey Gilbert here for the record. I know that we're going to go through, we have three agenda items, starting first with Justine Hadera. I also wanted to pass out, I put together a quick little packet. It's nothing more than information. I didn't have time to do a PowerPoint. It just describes what we're talking about here today.
Joey, do you have one more set for the clerk?
Thank I should start by saying that I believe Ms. Hedera would probably have been approved today had she been here. Correct, Sheriff? Considering her Nye County card has probably expired. Sheriff? I was saying Ms. Hedera probably would have been approved today because her Nye County card was expired, correct? Expired on the 31st.
Could have been approved today, yes.
I just wanted to bring that up. She is not here for a few reasons. She had to go back down to Las Vegas. What I wanted to bring up here is Justine traveled from Las Vegas to Story County, cleared doctor's checks, went to the sheriff's station, applied for a work card. A sheriff denied the work card, indicating a need to confirm her immigration status. Hedera went back home to the Mustang and sent in the valid I-9, including a Social Security card and a photo ID, punched out with interim DMV driver's license issued by the state of Nevada DMV. Hedera then traveled back to Story County, re-cleared the doctor's checks, and went again to the Story County Sheriff's Station. Sheriff denied the work card again, this time indicating Hedera had an active work card at Sherry's Ranch in Nye County. The Nye County work card had an expiration date of December 31st. Hedera had to depart again and go back home to Las Vegas. And then what's important here is we both tried to seek some clarification, and I asked Donnie to send a letter. He did. There was no response to the letter. And basically the issues I bring before the board today is that there's a couple concerns. Number one, I don't believe the sheriff has the authority to dip into immigration law outside of what, if a card is presented, a Social Security card and a valid ID, that's all the ordinance calls for, and there should be no further action in immigration. Again, the sheriff's free to do what he wants, but I think that because there's no ICE training or no one certified in immigration law, that it's unlawful. I mean, there's been a lot of jurisdictions across the country getting in big trouble for trying to overregulate immigration law. They're here, they have the proper documentation, and it's turned in. I will say that the rule on having only one work card, Story County Code Section 5.16-220, was never intended to force a licensed working lady to be able to work for only one brothel. This is contrary to providing ladies freedom for being cruised to work for one operator. And everybody's heard stories in the state of certain operators that won't give these girls their work cards back, hoping they won't end up back down there working for them. So the other thing I'll say, and I've been representing the brothel now about 6 months, and in my discussions with members of the county and former county staff, this work card rule has never, in 17 years, been enforced with this new interpretation to the last couple months. This would prevent bartenders from having a work card to work in a brothel and simultaneously having a work card for a job at a gaming establishment. It would also prevent workers with work cards in Nevada from working in another state in a job where a work card is required, which raises a Commerce Clause issue. Again, I just, in my reading of the statute or the ordinance, I don't see where we're getting down to this gray area, but I bring it in front of you today because the same information that has been used successfully to get other girls their work card that were also new United States citizens, they simply turned in what's required under the code, which is a state ID and a Social Security card, and they were given the card. So today, Ms. Hedera, because she could not afford to come back, she's not here. But I was, I spoke to the sheriff on Friday. He's always been accessible to me, and he let me know what was going on and that she probably would be given her card here today. But I did want to bring it up to put some detail down because there's a lot of intentions or actions taking place that are not really helping the county and helping the county businesses, and definitely I don't see where we're protecting or even addressing public safety. So for those reasons, I wanted to bring this card up, even though she wasn't here. In the event that she reapplies, I would assume she would probably be given her card.
Okay. Sheriff Antonaro, can you go ahead and follow up on this, on the immigration status?
Well, the whole argument is a moot point because this applicant has never been denied a card. What the argument here, what they're upset about is the – discretionary measure that's written into the ordinance that says the sheriff may issue a temporary work card. She has not been denied or revoked a card. She was allowed to apply, and she was told she would not be issued a temporary work card until we had these other issues resolved. And yes, there was a question on her immigration status, because we've had people in the past who have applied for a work card who were not legal to work in this country. So there was a legitimate question. And the brothel was put on notice years ago that that was something that was going to be checked on if there was, in fact, a question. I have a copy of the email that was sent to them indicating that. And I believe that's dated 2013. So this is all a matter of them not liking the discretionary measure that's written into the ordinance. She has not been denied or revoked. She is in the background process. But because of the questions, she was never issued a temporary period.
Okay. What was the reason that you thought that she had immigration issues?
Well, unlike the previous applicant that was referenced about, there were things that she submitted in her documentation that indicated that her time in this country, or at least in the state of Nevada, may have been limited. There's also the issue of having another work card in another county, which, contrary to counsel's argument, the ordinance has always maintained that there was only one work card allowed, and that was to keep people from moving back and forth between the brothels so that they could be tracked. It wasn't to limit them to working to any one brothel. They're free to go to one from one brothel to the next, but the card is only good at one place. They can't be jumping back and forth all over because it's a tracking issue.
Okay, so it is in county ordinance that you cannot have another work card in another county if you're going to work in Surrey County.
No, it just says that an applicant or a worker can only have one work card at a time. The specific verbiage, if you want it,
should be for this county is how I read that.
A prostitute or bartender of a licensed operation may not possess more than one card at any given time.
Okay.
So, like I say, the whole idea of this being an appeal of a work card denial is moot because there has been no denial. She has not been denied a card. She's in the background process. And as of December 31st, her other card is no longer valid in Nye County, and we have cleared up the status of her legality in this country. So at this point in time, there is nothing to withhold that.
All right.
So.
Okay. So with that said, Mr. Gilbert, what action would you be looking for since there's the sheriff's indicated there is no denial on this applicant? Generally, at these hearings, it's whether we want to go ahead and give her a card back, but she hasn't been issued one yet.
Chairman, it's been my client's position that the goalposts constantly get moved. We don't really sure what needs to happen, and if the sheriff told them when they first got there that it wasn't an immigration violation or an immigration problem, it was that she had another card in Nye County. This is a business, and we're just trying to make sure that everyone is being respectful and trying to move this forward as a business. And it just seems like a lot of time, energy is wasted and not being provided clearly. I call there, Mr. Dillman calls there, and we're often told we can't get that information. And just letting us know that the lady had another work card would have been a lot easier than flying her back and forth. And that's part of what we're here today, just to kind of put that out on the table. I guess there's nothing we can do today. I didn't know she wasn't going to be here until today, so okay. That being said, I'm happy to move to the next item. But I do not see, in my interpretation of the code, in my reading of the code, that the sheriff should be worrying about or in any way, shape, or form, handling immigration issues. It's just, quite frankly, not there. Not when they provide the documentation that's required. Now, if she showed up without the documents required, then I would say, right, Sheriff, you don't have to even look at it. But she showed up with a state ID, and she showed up with a Social Security card. That's all the county code asks for.
Well, I think under state law that everybody has to fill out a 9-9.
Correct.
I think every in my private sector, everyone has to fill out a 9-9 to go to work for me. So I don't think that's asking too much.
No, I don't either.
On the application that the employee fills out, does that state on there that they can't have another work card in another county in order to apply for a work card in Story County?
I don't know that the application does, but it's in the ordinance and has been in the ordinance
okay.
for years. And as far as council's comment about not being informed of the other work card, that was something that came up through the course of our background investigation, not something that was readily disclosed to us that we confirmed just this past Friday before the holiday.
I'm just saying that an employee filling out an application, if they didn't know that it was prohibited to have a work card in another jurisdiction, that they would go, you know, that they would either... Take whatever remedies they'd have to either cancel to one of the other county before applying for this. Because if, I guess under quite an ordinance, if they do have another work card, they cannot be issued one in this county.
That's correct.
All right.
Would it be possible to act for maybe a legal clarification on that? Because you can see the problem that creates. You know, you're basically limiting these girls to one area, these ladies,
right.
and even bartenders and whatnot. And
right.
I just, again, in reading the code, the way I saw it, and this will be addressed in a statement I'll read after we're done with these three agenda items, but I mentioned in there that in my reading of the code, and going back to talking with folks from around here for a while ago, it was originally put in place those cards to keep organized crime out of the industry and to track and provide an account of due diligence on folks.
Right.
I just, again, think that we're going a lot further than we need
well,
to.
I know that's exactly the reason it was put in there, to keep organized crime. Where are we at right here on this this appeal for Hedera is that I don't see there's any action you can take on this. She's not here, and according to the sheriff, she would be eligible to apply for a license right now. It had not been denied.
Well, had she re-upped her card down in Nye County, she wouldn't be able to come back here, and that's right. The clarification
that's right.
we're going to be seeking.
That's right. Well, I mean, that's something we can look at.
Very good. I can move on. And also, there's further information.
We're not going to move on yet because this is item 18, so I'm going to ask for public comment first, and then we're...
Sorry.
Is there any public comment regarding this application? Okay, then I think maybe I'll get a motion from you to take no action on this.
I'll make a motion to take no action again on the work card appeal by Justine Hedera.
But Lester with legal counsel?
Yes.
And I'll second your motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
You said aye.
Aye. All right. Now we'll move on to number 19. This is a discussion of possible action, work card appeal for Jason Fillmore.
Again, Mr. Fillmore is present. I don't necessarily need him up here right now. This is a very simple one, gentlemen. Sheriff Antoro sent the deputy, said Deputy Mustang on December 22nd, 3 days before Christmas, to revoke a work card for bartender Jason Fillmore. Jason tried repeatedly over several days to find the reason for his revocation, calling the sheriff's office, traveling the sheriff's office in Virginia City, in jail trying to find someone who would give him the reason. I also got involved through the Gilman's offices and tried my best. He was told they would have to come in after Christmas for this information. On December 26th, he called the sheriff's office and was told he could not receive the information over the telephone. So he traveled again to Virginia City, where he was told that the card was revoked because he forgot to write down on the application an arrest from 18 years ago. Jason, however, did attach to the application a fingerprint service FBI background check printout with the old arrest listed and submitted. The service costs about $80, and this is in addition to the fees charged by the sheriff for the application filing. See the attached exhibits, please. Sheriff's issue apparently is that the applicant did not physically write it on his application form, even though it was listed in full as an attachment to the application. Sheriff had previously said at a county commission meeting that he would not deny or revoke a work card based on a failure to remember an arrest if the applicant submitted the fingerprint service background check. The applicant has also never been convicted of any crime. Well, the issues here are pretty simple. The FBI background check was paid for and submitted with the full application. Therefore, the arrest, which was disclosed completely and accurately with the application to Sheriff Antonoro and should not have caused any problems. Once again, we feel, my clients feel, this is an ad hoc procedural change by the sheriff, and it should not take an applicant traveling repeatedly to Virginia City in person simply to get the reason for having a work card revoked and being pulled out of his or her job. And obviously, this was damaging the applicant given the proximity of the revocation to the Christmas holiday. I mean, 3 days before Christmas, and again, my clients feel it is unnecessary and just not being handled in a way that is best for all parties. And I do believe, again, I did speak to the sheriff. This was one he told me ahead of time I didn't need to come up for, and that this gentleman would be approved so long as everything got through. But again, these are the issues we're facing, and I have to do my part to call him out.
All right. Sheriff?
Well, one, we make a big deal about the timing of it. I don't time when the results come back from the FBI on the background check. So the fact that it was 3 days before Christmas is really insignificant. It is what it is. We get the results when we get the results. And, yes, I did say if the criminal history was attached and someone forgot it, that we wouldn't deny them on that. But contrary to what seems to be the popular belief, I do not touch every single applicant, every single piece of paper that comes through my office. I'm told that there was a failure to disclose. I have no reason to doubt my staff, so the card was revoked based on the failure to disclose. It was after the fact that it was seen that it was on the submission, and if that's the premise we want to go on, we'll just hand them a blank piece of paper, tell them write their name down, and attach everything you want to, and maybe we'll find it, maybe we won't. But, yes, this was a standard revocation for failure to disclose. And we have said again, it was also said in an open meeting, because of changes and requirements of the FBI, we cannot discuss it over the phone. We cannot discuss it with the brothel. We cannot only discuss it with the applicant, and they have to prevent or provide identification so that we know who we're talking to. Those are FBI requirements that were discussed right here in this chamber. So, yes, the applicant has to come to my office. Now, if the substation is open, they can go there, present their identification there. Obviously, it was a Friday. The substation was not open, so the applicant did come to Virginia City, and when he showed up here, it had already been agendized by that point in time. But my understanding is my staff informed him of what the problems were.
Okay.
There's a pretty clear...
Okay. So let me understand. It's like, okay, work card, you're going by recommendation of your staff. You don't follow up to make sure that it should be revoked? That's the way you said it.
Okay, well, they do the work. They present me with the information and have me sign the letter. Just like a deputy goes out, makes a traffic stop, finds a drunk driver, arrests them, I don't necessarily review every single thing that they do. If I've got to do all the work of my staff, what do I need the staff for?
I don't know if I agree with that logic. I mean, you got people you're putting out of work, and maybe you should make sure you're doing it for the right reason.
Same thing we have done time and time again.
It said that he had attached...
The FBI printout was attached to the original application.
Wouldn't you take the time to even look at it?
I don't look at every single application that comes in.
Again, gentlemen.
Okay, you said enough there. Okay, thank you.
I was just going to say, it's my client's position that things like this, you know, taking a guy's work away from him 3 days before Christmas because he a clerical error, which really is what it was. He didn't write it on the application. It was attached to it. I just think there can be some discretion used. I know that we're told we don't use discretion, but I see a ton of discretion around here. And pulling someone's card 3 days before Christmas because he made a clerical error, he's been working there, committed no crimes, wasn't arrested, no warrants, no disqualifying factors, no convictions. Guy doesn't even have a criminal history of any convictions. We pull his card. And again, I'm just merely trying to state that there's some unfair treatment, in my opinion, and the record speaks for itself, and I just would like to try and get to the bottom of it. To make everybody's job easier, definitely this board's and the sheriff's, I think.
Okay. It looks like this has been adjudicated then. Is there even a need to go ahead and have a vote on reinstating this? Because he to reinstate his work card because he's eligible to have a work card now. Is that correct? Because of your policy that because there was a clerical error, the background correct. Check does go ahead and show it. So
correct.
So does this board need to take action on this item?
Well, I think you should uphold the appeal.
Okay.
What does that mean?
Work card.
Oh, that's what I thought.
Okay.
Why are we
we do this. We'll open up for public comment. Anybody wish to speak on this matter? I think I've heard everything I need to hear. I've heard the sheriff's side. I've heard your side there. And, so I'm going to go ahead and ask Commissioner McGuffey if you want to entertain a motion to reinstate Mr. Fillmore's work card.
I'll make a motion to reinstate Mr. Jason Fillmore's work card.
I'll second your motion. We moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Okay. You're good to go back to work, Mr. Fillmore. Good luck. I know it sounds kind of strange that just a clerical error should go ahead and do that, but we've kind of stressed with the brothel that you guys make sure that your applicants cross every T and dot every I. And so I'll stress that going forward too, because as the sheriff pointed out, you know, his staff went by the numbers, and if he's not going to have an opportunity to review everything that goes by, had he had a chance to review it, he probably would have said, oh yeah, this is here, you're good to go.
Donnie Gilman, I do want to point out that the arrest was on his application that he filled out, but what had happened is that he didn't have the correct date on it. So the arrest he put down was there. He had just taken a pen and crossed off the date because when he got his FBI printout, he saw the date was different. That was the only thing that was wrong with that application. It actually was written on there. So I just need to point that out. Thank you.
All right. Let's move along now to item number 20, discussion of possible action. This is a work card appeal for Makilia Enriquez. Is that something you got right?
And we're going to go ahead and pass on this one because she never returned. And so now it's a moot point now.
Well, so. I would like to make a comment also still. Regardless whether she returned or not, this should not even have been on the agenda because this person has never even applied with the sheriff's office. She came to my office. There were issues in her background. She was told she could apply, but again, would not be issued a temporary because of those issues. And she has not even applied, and we've been messing with this, and I've talked to counsel about this, I believe, right after this happened. And she has never even applied with my office to get a work card. She showed up, talked about it, left. So why it's even on here is anybody's guess.
Okay.
We definitely address that. So if you please look at the information we provided, it wasn't because she didn't intend to or didn't try to. She went there to turn in her application. If you look, on December 1st, 2017, Makilia traveled to Virginia City's Story County Sheriff's Office. They require an in-person appearance for the application. Sheriff had instructed his staff to refuse the application because they couldn't get a hold of the courts to find out the facts. Makilia was never again called by a sheriff or a staff to get further info or clarification on the arrest. It's now been a full 30 days since the attempt at submitting a work card application. A couple issues here that jumped out immediately. Sheriff, I don't believe, has the authority under the code to refuse to accept a work card application. Once again, we believe that the sheriff is refusing to accept the FBI background check as a full disclosure of the criminal information. And again, as we know, every person is presumed innocent until proven guilty. And I address this in my statement. There's just so many irresponsible comments charged and thrown out today in the public domain, whether it be social media or whatnot. And we've got to do a better job at verifying information before we prevent people from working. If an applicant has a pending or unresolved charge, it is not grounds under the county code for denying a work card. The code is very specific. The only grounds for denying a work card is a conviction of certain specified crimes. So I just, again, this is something need to be brought up because we tried and the staff tried. When I spoke to the sheriff, he let me know no one had, she hadn't applied yet. But when I spoke to Mr. Gilman, both Mr. Gilmans, they had told me that she had been turned away. And I also have, there's a little handwritten note from an individual that drove her up there, Jose, the driver. Says on 12-1, he drove Mikhail Enriquez to the Virginia City Sheriff's Office. He even says he was there to watch. Per Brandy, I recall Sheriff Antonio being present when Natalie was told they couldn't process her application.
I would like to point out also that we scan and email everything up to Brandy at the Sheriff's Office. So it was turned in also by email.
And again, the only thing I can comment is both my administrative assistant at the Lockwood substation, when this particular young lady was standing there, I spoke with her and told her to accept the application. Matter of fact, I spoke with you, Mr. Gilman, while all of that was going on in between phone calls.
Actually, this is a different one, Sheriff.
Oh, okay. Anyway, this one was told she could apply, but she would not be granted a temporary until we knew the circumstances of the things that she had outstanding. But she never submitted her application, so like I said, it's a moot point and shouldn't even be on the agenda.
I think the problem with this one is that the application was not allowed to be submitted at the sheriff's station, and that's the problem, is that if we're not allowed to submit them, how do they know that she cannot have a work card? If he has not looked at the application, how would he know that he cannot grant her a temporary work card?
Well, again, this is symptomatic of the problem, is not listening. She can submit her application but would not be granted a temporary. Two different things.
But we you're will saying not that she did not submit that
application, Donnie.
And until we have answers to those questions, doesn't say that. The ordinance doesn't say that they will leave with a work card in hand, ready to go to work. It says that the sheriff may issue a temporary. In two instances, possibly three now, there was significant circumstances where no temporary work card was issued. How many hundreds of applications have we processed where they've walked out the door with their temporary in hand? It just happens that these are all contemporaneous in time. And, you know, she was told she could submit her application but would not leave with the work card. I told staff that repeatedly. So if she didn't hear that, if your employees didn't hear that, if my staff didn't communicate that, I can't tell you. I've said it so many times now that, it's burned into my brain. They can't apply. It's not a guarantee they're going to leave with a work card in hand.
And I understand that, Sheriff. Thank you for that. But this particular one, again, it was not over a temporary work card. It was over the fact that she was not allowed to turn in her application and was turned away from the sheriff's office. Had nothing to do with a temporary work card.
I have to ask you a question.
Yes.
If she wasn't allowed to turn in the application, how was the sheriff able to go ahead and know who she was and know that there was outstanding incidents there that they couldn't figure out what the resolution was to it in order to give her a temporary?
I think that would be my point. The sheriff is stating that she never turned in an application, and she, in fact, absolutely did.
Okay, I'm at a loss here.
So am I, because I checked as of just this morning, and we still have no record of her in the system. I distinctly talked to my administrative assistant, Ms. Backus. I talked with Mr. Linda. I was in the office when she was brought up, and she was told again that she can submit her application but would not leave with a temporary because of what she had disclosed in there that we wanted to find out about before issuing the temporary. So, she came in talking about it. She had a question about the specifics of the issues. My staff was concerned enough, they contacted me. I said, let her submit the application, and we will look into it, but she will not leave with a temporary today until we know what the details of it were.
Okay, so the information that she gave your staff was just verbal?
Correct.
Okay. That's where I was getting mixed up here.
And we have not received an application on this individual yet.
Okay.
Gentlemen, there's on the, I think it's the third page, the last, there is an email from Jennifer Barnes where she's in there saying that this is the work card application, an FBI printout from Michaela Enriquez. I spoke with Brandy about Michaela's charges, but not convictions. Brandy said that she would only be able to get a temporary work card until everything was settled. When I emailed the paperwork to Brandy, she reached back out to me, letting me know that she couldn't get a hold of the courts to find out the facts. I explained to Brandy that the FBI printout explains it all. The sheriff is the one that needed to look into the issue. There were no convictions, only charges.
Okay, so we still don't have an application at this moment, correct?
Correct.
Sir? We don't have it. Okay. Your complaint is you don't think the sheriff went ahead and did the background, but he's saying he didn't get the application. So.
Yes, sir.
Again, it'll probably go to my closing argument. I'll let you, where I state that I just think there's got to be a
better
way.
We're not going to make closing arguments until, because we're going to do closing arguments.
Well, I mean, when we're done. We're going to
let me go through my process here first. And that is, I'm going to open it up and ask if there's any public comment regarding this issue. And hearing none, I'm going to look at my legal counsel again and go ahead. And it's going to be my recommendation that we go ahead and vote to take no action on this. I do concur with that.
I'm going to refer to Bob.
What did you ask?
I'm going to ask that McGuffey go ahead and make a motion that we take no action on this item.
That's fine.
Yeah. Okay. And I can do that now, or if you want to speak first.
If you want to just briefly on the record state why you're taking no action, because the sheriff says that there was no application, so that there is no appeal, I think that would make it straightforward.
Okay. Do you want to speak first, or do you want me to do this?
Go ahead.
I'll read away.
Just simply recognize that there is no application, and we're aware of that.
You want to go ahead and make the motion, Jack?
Sure. I'll make a motion that because there was no application filed with the Sheriff's Department, the work card appeal for Michaela Enriquez will dismiss. We'll just take no action? For the work card appeal for Michaela and Enriquez, we will not take any action.
Okay. I'll second that motion. It's been moved and seconded to take no action on this item for the reasons stated. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Go ahead, Mr. Gilbert.
Well, I don't have anything further on that item, or we're going to be moving to the
final item. Move on to the next item then?
Sure.
Item number 21, discussion of possible action. This discussion of a potential change to the county code and the proposed process for consultation with county staff regarding such a change requested by Donnie Gilman and Joey Gilbert.
Provide a little background so that it will actually identify what that fourth agenda item is. And if it's just a simple statement, I provided it for your, should read along as well. And I'll just start from the top, just saying normally I don't believe I need to make an opening statement simply to appear on a work card issue. But I believe the time has come for some straight talk from an outsider, that being me, who came before this board and the sheriff with nothing but honest intentions and an indefatigable spirit to foster better communications and help everyone get along. I truly did. I believe I've had very positive meetings with the sheriff, and I believe I've always treated everyone and every issue with the utmost respect. First, let me digress quickly and tell you why I'm here in front of you today. I'm here in Story County for a couple reasons. One being that Mom Hess, a friend of mine, his sister married to Mike Connors, and brother Pat Connors was my best friend all through high school and college. Some of you may remember I was on the Contender series on NBC with Sylvester Stallone. I got a call from Bum while I was living and training in L.A. to come up here and speak to the high school and junior in the junior high for graduation, which I did. I came up. I met tons of wonderful people, still all friends today, and I actually have a couple of VC graduates now working at my other businesses while they're finishing school at the university. Second reason I'm in front of you today is because I saw Lance speak at the Atlantis on landing Tesla in the park. I was beyond impressed with the vision, the tenacity, and the straight-up balls it took to make the park happen, only then to fill it with the greatest and sexiest companies in the world. I knew I wanted to be involved in projects here in Story County, in the park, and so simply put, I'm here, this is my angle, and I'm determined to make an impact by simplifying the process. Gentlemen, in that speech Lance gave at the Atlantis, I'm sure you've all heard it because they are your county codes, your ordinances, you wrote them. If I remember correctly, a company could apply for and receive a grading permit in a day, day and a half, whatever it was. It was incredible, and through simplification and private industry, you're doing some amazing things here. Well, to my point, we have a county where everything moves at the speed of light for business, but for our fellow citizens or those looking for work, we have an ever-moving timeline and goalposts that absolutely were not what the ordinance was drafted for. With all due respect, how the hell is it going to take weeks, months to approve a work card, and is this action or inaction really necessary, reasonable, and prudent? Is this the best practice for a forward-thinking county that really seems to understand Americans' frustrations with government overreach? We must consider the costs and challenges all counties, municipalities face with regards to how important resources are spent, and ask, is this truly a necessary function and utilization of the Sheriff's Office in 2017? As an example, currently the Department of Taxation and other state agencies handle all kinds of enforcement and regulatory duties as they apply to the state's licensed businesses that were traditionally left to law enforcement. I merely point this out because at the end of the day, I personally see no reason why the Sheriff's Office is managing day-to-day operations at a local brothel, and from the outside, the bias is pretty clear and straightforward, and rightfully so. The sheriff and the business owners have a history, and I'll leave it at that, because I get it. But innocent, broken-down women with very few, if any, other options shouldn't end up as pawns in this little game that seems to be on repeat. On balance, I believe it would be fair to know what percentage of time and resources the sheriff's office is spending to enforce brothel ordinances relative to what's spent on other businesses and other duties of the sheriff's office. My point to all this, what level of public safety is being addressed by revoking Mr. Pillmore's work card on December 22nd, 3 days before Christmas, on a holiday weekend, with all administrative staff out of the office, all because there was an arrest 17 years prior, accidentally left off his application. And I put a note in there, Mr. Pillmore had zero convictions, all visible on FBI printout that was also turned in, which shouldn't have mattered regardless, and definitely not resulted in pulling his work card for what was a clerical error. In my reading of the brothel ordinance, and in trying to formulate its intent, I have had to ask myself and county staff why the work cards were originally implemented and the purpose they serve. It is my understanding that the work cards were initiated to prevent organized crime from being involved in the industry and essentially to keep track of and perform due diligence background checks on people, correct? Am I missing anything? Meaning, it definitely seems much more limited in scope than I believe the sheriff is interpreting and applying it, and it's absolutely this board's duty to guide that interpretation and application, and it should be discussed, voted on, and put to bed soon, not today, obviously, please, if possible. Whether it's a girl seeking medical clearance because she originally failed a medical test but now has a clean test, or someone with charges but not conviction, there must be a specific protocol that's followed with as little interaction from law enforcement as possible. And the reason for this is, guys, I mean, treating a local business and its employees like criminals is not fair and acceptable in this great country of ours. There must be a permanent standard or criteria not open to interpretation, and ladies with a clear medical test after first testing dirty shouldn't be required to reapply or told the ordinance needs to be reviewed because the ordinance is clear. It doesn't mention it, which means it's not required, and the ad hoc rulemaking should never occur when it affects people's lives. The above being so, if proper documentation has been provided, then the sheriff has no need nor the authority to question immigration status. That's how I read it. In America, you are innocent until proven guilty, and with the internet and social media accusations and uncorroborated charges that are being thrown around, careers and businesses are being destroyed. It's just not fair, and it's just not American to jump the gun and deny people the right to work just because they may or may not be facing legal charges. All defendants have a right to defend themselves in a court of law and the right to an attorney, all while they continue to work and provide for their families. I think we need to respect our laws and democracy, and for this reason I'm going to implore you to please, I'm not too proud to beg, I say here, to take whatever action necessary to change the words in the sheriff's order from may to must. Put simply, if there's no disqualifying condition or convictions, then an automatic temporary work card should be given. That is my position and my client's position. Changing it from the sheriff may to the sheriff must issue a temporary work card will keep everyone honest and make certain that if there is a genuine concern of criminal history and there's no conviction or disqualifying issues, then the sheriff can prioritize accordingly and get the answers and information he needs from the courts quickly. In speaking with the sheriff, I asked him why he was so concerned with the work card applications at the brothel, and he said it's simply a matter of public safety. I was respectful and listened and took notes and immediately tried to implement some better communications and inserted myself where appropriate. I was told by the sheriff, I'm paraphrasing, that with regards to calling for information on why work card was denied, I was told that if the applicant appeared in person at the substation or up in Virginia City, that I would then be allowed to call and speak about the application. Sadly, I was unable to make any difference whatsoever, and in fact, that's why I'm in front of you all here today, having flown back late last night at midnight from Maui, Hawaii, on a family vacation to be here today, because this is important to me, and I'm going back tomorrow morning. It bothers me that I see good people, and if people are trying to work in Story County, if these ladies are here in Story County, then they're in search of something safer and something better. And the environment here is 1,000 times more positive, and no one from this county should be judging anybody or any lady from what so many times they are running from and should never be subjectively forced to return to. I have made an honest attempt at trying to resolve issues as they come up. I do so because I respect everyone's time, and I know the county staff and law enforcement do a lot to keep us all safe. We appreciate and respect your service, Sheriff, and all your deputies. This is why I just don't understand how we've gotten to this point in Story County, where we are scrutinizing work cards in a way, time, manner, and priority as applied to the brothel in a manner I've never seen before for county work cards. And in 2017, possibly utilizing a system that simply doesn't work. I say this in terms of how quickly information can be verified and courts or other county offices contacted and concerns addressed. What took days and weeks before now takes minutes, and we owe it to the taxpaying citizens of this county to process that information in a timely manner, especially when it's a matter of survival and options are limited and very dangerous. Story County is a safe place. The runaround given to Ms. Hedera, who was first told her card could not be processed because of her immigration status, which was later changed to Ms. Hedera possessing a work card from Nye County, and so again, the goalposts were moved, and reasons, standards, and our system changed again. And it's just not fair, and any other business going through this exact same thing would say the same thing. Finally, since we touched on this topic, a lady being denied a work card because she has another one in another county is an outdated, antiquated concern that was specific to this county because there were additional brothels, and the thinking was at the time, again, this is from you folks here, if a girl got her card pulled in another brothel for, say, a failed medical test, they didn't want them driving down the street and working in another one. The state has addressed these concerns and many others that originally fell the counties, and there is no reason for this limiting provision to be interpreted and applied for in this fashion. It serves no public safety interest. The sheriff just recently began to apply this over the last couple months, and after it not being enforced in this manner for more than 17 years. And so it is my position that Story County is effectively restricting someone's ability to work, which I believe is not lawful, but the more serious repercussion on the ladies or even staff who are forced to then stay and work at a location that they are desperately trying to leave. In closing, I'm prepared to answer any additional questions that they apply to specific work card denials, but I believe I've also identified significant concerns or issues as they relate to the applicants before you, using real-life scenarios to demonstrate the damage and harm done to the business and those wishing to be employed there. The solution is simple and clear, and I ask that the board consider my request and advise and direct me accordingly. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gilbert. Sheriff, do you want to respond to anything that Mr. Gilbert said?
I do. While we're all business friendly and looking to speed up the process, we must remember that these are privileged work cards. They are privileged licenses. How quickly does gaming do a background check? How quickly does a liquor license get processed and go through. These are public safety issues. We do not want an axe murderer working in a brothel. We do not want a drug runner working in a brothel. We do not want somebody who cannot collect or pass a medical exam going from one brothel to the next. That is why these things are here and why they are in place. And it is a privilege license, and it does take some time. And yes, in I don't know how many hundreds of applications we have processed over the last 7 years, and there's three instances where a temporary has not been issued. So where is the problem? And, you know, is it just because of who these three are? You say I'm newly enforcing some of these things. These are adjusted as things come up. When we find out about the previous or holding another work card, we look into those things. Just like the issues with not being able to discuss with criminal histories with the brothel or even with you until we've heard from the applicant and we know who they are. That's coming from the FBI. I don't make these things up. I've been accused repeatedly of ad hoc rulemaking. Everything I'm doing is in the ordinance. So if you want to change the ordinance, let's sit down, have another rulemaking session and go through it again like we did in 2009, like we did in 2000, whenever it was. We just went through it a couple of years ago and went through a whole bunch of stuff. And every time that we have gone through this, we have weeded it down more and more and more. So let's either just do away with the brothel ordinance and let them do what they want, or let's follow the rules. And the fact that I am doing what the ordinance requires me to do, and maybe that wasn't done in the past, I couldn't tell you, doesn't mean there's a problem with the ordinance. If there's a problem with the ordinance, by all means. We've sat down with it before. We've sat down with it again. But it is still a privilege license, a privilege permit, and the safety of the public is the stake. And I would think that the brothel would have a vested interest in the safety of their customers.
Sheriff, I think they do. And I don't think they've ever asked anybody that's got a bad FBI background check to get a card.
Jack, you want to weigh in?
Yeah, well, upon reviewing some of our brothel codes and stuff, I could see some tweaking. I think we need to look at it in whole, though. I mean, we need to. There seems to be instances where we, the sheriff, interpret the reading one way when it seems confined when it's actually a broad term. So I think some of the verbiage in the code needs to be nailed down, you know. So, and that's going to take some time.
I agree.
Yeah, it's nothing. You just go in there and check mark this and delete that and stuff like that. So I think we need to look at it a little closer. And you know, we've been going through this for a few years, and we're kind of seeing the same stuff, you know, over and over. And it's like, you know, so we know where we need to kind of tweak it, you know.
Personally, I think the sheriff's got way better things to do, but at the same time.
Yeah, well, I'm not blaming anything on the sheriff. He's doing his job, you know. But after seeing, I don't know how many years since I've been in the office here, well over a dozen, I think, of work card people have come through. And it's a lot of them are for the same reason, or they've had problems in the past, and we cut them a little slack and give them a last chance, like in the last go around, you know. But we're not trying to put anybody out. We're trying to adhere to the codes as well. And that's why we're here today, because there is an appeal process. But I think we could probably cut down a lot of appeals if we kind of, you know, kind of clean up the routing of a work card.
Agreed.
Yeah. But background checks are a must. There's no way around.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think you can expect to see these applicants being scrutinized in the future. I mean, with prostitution, Nevada's the only state in the country that allows legal prostitution. As the sheriff pointed out, between prostitution, gaming, and liquor, they're all privileged license. You're not running a grocery store out there, you know. This is something that's it's a real privilege. I mean, to go ahead and have legalized prostitution in this country. I agree with Jack. I think there's some room to tweak in this ordinance. When they went ahead and rewrote this brothel ordinance, they wanted to mirror a lot of the gaming regulations because they want to keep the criminal element out of here. So it's pretty tight. Background investigations, all that. They may have gone overboard a little bit. I hold a gaming license and a liquor license. And in the gaming industry, if you're involved with gaming, you have to have a gaming work card. But if you work in the gaming property and you're not involved in gaming, you don't have to have a work card. Such as if a bartender isn't involved in gaming, doesn't have to have one. The janitor isn't involved in gaming, doesn't have to have one. So I'd like to look at the licensing, you know, because I think that maybe some people are being required to get work cards that probably don't need to have a work card. I think that if you're not in management or actively involved in prostitution, that you probably don't need a work card. That's just my personal feeling. The other board members might disagree with me. So that is something I think we can look at in the future. But I think that the background checks are still going to stay strict, and I don't think there's any way around that. I think that's about all. We've listened to a lot of conversation here today, and I think that's about all I have to say on the matter. Pat, do you want to weigh in on any of this?
Well, that's the only thing I think. You know, Mr. Gilbert and I spoke. I recognize that we've got four items for possible action on this agenda and no support documents. I'd like to work with Donnie and Mr. Gilbert. In terms of, you know, coming up with a better pre-knowledge. I mean, you know, the more information we can put out there, regardless, you know, I think is better off. You know, there's.
And I apologize for that, Pat. I was not in town. I would have got that to you. It's my bad.
The sheriff and I had discussed should these items be on the agenda, and it's like, you know, I don't know.
The sheriff's right.
I've got an email.
Didn't have the time.
And I've got an email from somebody.
I didn't know if I was coming when I spoke to him last week, and then it's just. I probably should have sent it in, so again,
I appreciate it, and I appreciate the willing to work through any processes, whether they're with the sheriff and the ordinance, or whether with me, with the agenda items and the appeals. That's great. The only other thing I would like to address, Chairman McBride, is your comment is you know, when we talk about the initial ordinance rewrite, yeah, it was... I'm not going to stand for the fact that, you know, maybe we went a little overboard. If you go back to the times, Mr. Conforti had just gotten his licenses jerked and was, you know, and the IRS was foreclosing on him. So I think then Commissioner and Chairman Bumhess and I sat down. You're exactly right in that we did try to craft this after gaming. I recall going to gaming on multiple occasions and, you know, stealing their forms with their permission, so to speak. I mean, we could never do it to the extent gaming does. My God, you know the process. I mean, they'll chase you to the ends of the earth. Fortunately, I got first off to cut my teeth on Commissioner Gilman, you know, as the owner-operator, and then we added Ms. Austin and subsequently you, Donnie, and I think each time that process gets better and has more integrity and, you know, and makes your common sense stuff. I do echo everything you said about it. It does need scrutiny. I've never gotten, in terms of working with you, Tara with you, former people that are still around, not Susan, Jennifer, whoever, licensed her, wherever they were. Nobody really wants that criminal element, that drug element. So I'm hopeful that yet again through sitting down and working maybe with some legal counsel, you know, and others that probably should point to Mr. Morris. I think he's been with us the longest on this, but it would be good to get that clarification and get rid of some of those ambiguities. So,
okay. How about if we open up for public comments?
Half
for the record, Sam Till, Gold Hill. It's interesting, as the spokesman or the communications director for the Nevada Libertarian Party. Libertarian Party thinks that, you know, this whole entire process is something that maybe shouldn't even be happening, because this is a transaction between an individual and another individual, and in fact the brothel is simply a landlord, as Joe in 41 said. However, the facts remain. The ordinance is very clear. I've compared this ordinance to other ordinances in Lyon and Nye counties. We have there's some tightening up that could happen, but the facts remain. The sheriff is doing his job. The ordinance is very clear in what his responsibilities are, and because this is something that has been recurring over and over and over again over the past number of years, perhaps the thing to do is to employ Mr. Gilbert ahead of time and have him take a look at these licenses before they're submitted to ferret out any potential errors and issues, so that none of us have to relive this experience over and over again. I think that, again, if we're going to change the rules, let's go ahead and do that in a workshop. But until then, the rules are the rules. And the sheriff's job is to do what it is that the rules say he's supposed to do. And until those get changed, that's the way it is. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
If you want to, if Bob had something to say or not.
Yeah. Bob, do you have anything to say on this, too?
Just briefly, if that's all right. I was asked by District Attorney Langer to be here just in case, because I had worked in 2015 at the end of 2014 on the revisions that we did. And I have to say there was a good process. Everybody was involved, and there was actually a few decisions that were made that are coming up today. One of them is the required ID. There had been problems with the required ID, and we specifically agreed to certain text and put it into the ordinance. And so it says, forms of acceptable identification are a state-issued real ID or an ID that meets I-9 requirements. That was discussed quite a bit, and that was the decision that was made by the board to do that. And so I think that's very clear to the sheriff. If the sheriff follows that requirement, I really think that should take care of that problem. The other thing that was discussed while the ordinance was being revised was how to handle the temporary permits. And I think it was a conscious decision of the board at that time to have the sheriff have the discretion. Now, within that, he gets to use it as he wants, and he tends to be more conservative and have items that he feels uncomfortable with come back to the board for a hearing, like we have had today. But I'm just going to tell you that that was a conscious decision to leave the discretion to him. So if there is an interest in changing that, you should tell us and we could work on it. There was one final general comment, and that was about how these items get before the board. We're working on a new policy for agendizing items to the commissioner's board. And so one of the ones that came up today, it's very clear. It says the person whose work card has been denied or revoked may file an appeal with the board. And so it appears to me that our procedure isn't working very well. If the sheriff has denied something, it seems like we could have a document in the packet saying the denial of the permit or revocation of the permit was based on this specific reason. I think that being in the agenda packet would help the board make a decision. It seems like it's always on the run. Things come up. You're forced to make a decision on stuff that's handed out at the meetings or talked about at the meetings. And so the thing that I would suggest is that you go back and make sure that there's an agenda item for the item. There's input from the sheriff and input from the person that's appealing. And if that's not done, I don't think the board is really in a position to be able to make a decision very safely. So that would be my suggestion is, and I think that's in the works, so we may be able to eliminate some of them.
I brought that up a couple years ago. If I could speak to that. There is a missing document, pure and simple now. How it didn't get in the packet, I'm not going to point fingers and worry about it, but there was an email from Mr. Thompson saying that on behalf of Lance and Donnie, I believe, that these four items would be heard. A document existed. That's it. So there was nothing else. So I went ahead and put them on there, as we have historically done. Chris was moving on timelines. But that was all the information I had. So if I want to clarify something, Mr. Morris, did I hear you say that I've got to now tell Chris that he can't make a request for an appeal on behalf of either Mr. Gilman or Mr. Gilman, that has to come from the applicant?
Well, it's if you're representing the person, and I assume it doesn't have to be just plain legal representation. If you're the manager or owner of the business, I think you could go ahead and file the appeal on their behalf. So I wouldn't strictly enforce that to just the person, but I think they're the ones that have the ability to do it. If they want help with it through other people, I think that's okay.
I think that's reasonable. So I'll work with Chris, I'll work with Mr. Gilbert, with Donnie and Tara, you know, on probably better documenting earlier in the process when we know these. And then I do always notify Sheriff Antonaro, you know, as soon as I get the appeal so he's not blindsided
right
by it. And through that process, we'll work something out.
And I understand there's personal information, and so it might be that you'll have to have a redacted application put into the packet. So at least we know that there's been an application, and hopefully something in writing from the sheriff's office saying this is denied or revoked for this specific reason. And
I have no intention of being judge and jury on that part. I mean,
right.
I notice in here we've got information that I believe Mr. Pilpot provided that had criminal records, or at least on one of these. You know, in my world as a former sheriff, that was a big no-no, but they were provided.
Right.
I'm not going to redact anything. You know, whatever Donnie's group gives me, I'll provide, whatever Sheriff Antonaro does. But we'll have to work with you guys on timelines, too, because one of the items that Vanessa and I are working on this revised agenda policy is just reemphasizing the deadlines are there for a reason. Nothing's really going to change with respect to getting it on the agenda. That'll be noon on the Monday of the week before the meeting still. And this message goes as much to staff as to everybody else, because we seem to be missing those deadlines more and more. But then as far as any documentation, Vanessa and I have agreed, regardless of brothel or special use permits or anything else, we've got to have documentation no later than 5 p.m. of the next Tuesday. So in essence, the week before the meeting, because
right
at that stage we're assembling you know, packets and doing everything that we need to do.
If you don't have any other questions.
Did I understand you correctly that you said that Nevada's real ID driver's license covers I-9 requirements?
No, there was an alternative. Either have a real ID or have documents that meet I-9 requirements.
Okay.
And that was through discussions with the brothel owners and their lawyers, and that was how the board decided to handle that specific issue.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. Mr. Thompson.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Commissioner, Mr. County Manager, Sheriff, Mr. Deputy DA, Chris Thompson, today in the capacity of Risk Manager for the Gilman Trust. I appreciate all the discussion about some tweaks being made, and I hope that a group with the attorney for the Mustang and the Gilmans and the district attorney and the sheriff could reconvene as was talked about to do some tweaking. There are some issues on the appeal process that create a lot of time issues. We have to have the notice to the county manager for the agenda 7 days before the meeting, but then there's only 30 days allowed for an appeal process. And many times it takes, as you saw today, I think it takes the legal counsel and the Gilman business, the Mustang Ranch, it takes them time to figure out what happened, especially when there's not a written document explaining the reason. So they kind of have to, it takes a week or two or more to figure out what the reason is. So perhaps that's an area to look at also, is to make that process better. But I appreciate the comments of the board today and Mr. County Manager and Mr. Deputy DA and Mr. Morris. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Still public comment. Anyone else? None more? So anyway, Jack, I'm going to recommend that we go ahead and direct staff, along with the sheriff, legal counsel, and the licensee, to go ahead and come up with some recommended changes, if at all necessary, and go forward with it. Okay. Sheriff, I noticed too that the issue with the one applicant where she had a work card in Nye County, and county ordinance prohibits you working in more than one county at the same time.
Prohibits you from having more than one work card.
One work card. Can additional jurisdictions be added to that work card? What I'm saying is that under gaming, you can have an employee who might work at three or four different casinos. He's got a work card, but the list of each of those casinos is listed on their work card, so they had to go through the process and add on another location. The background check has already been done. But so is there a prohibition of working in two different Nevada counties that have legal prostitution at the same time?
Well, there's nothing in state law, because state law defers to the locals. In conversations with other counties who allow it, oftentimes if we issue a work card here, they will automatically suspend, revoke, cancel the work card there. That's the case with Lyon County, what they told us. So, you know, you don't have people going from the Mustang down to the Bunny Ranch, running back and forth, working there 3 days. And I think that's the bigger problem, especially as mobile as we are. People who jump on a plane, you can be in Las Vegas in an hour, another 40 minutes drive to Pahrump. You can work there for a couple of days, work here for a couple of days. And I think it goes back to more of a public health issue of who's responsible for what, or are both places testing and reporting. Scary part for me, and this comes from talks with the state, is that ours are one of the most comprehensive brothel ordinances in the state, which kind of scary because I see a lot of issues where we need to make some improvements in the ordinance. There's some things that can be tweaked and adjusted and probably simplified, but there's other areas that need to be a little more strict. So if ours are the most comprehensive in the state, that really scares me about what's going on in the other jurisdictions. And I don't know if we want to just, oh, well, they're good in Nye County, so they can come to work up here and we'll call it good. We don't even know when they're coming and going, if that's the case.
When a worker leaves the property, when they come back, they have to be health cleared again, though, don't they?
Correct.
What they
is that
said.
Correct? Sorry, yeah, that's correct.
So even if they worked in different jurisdictions, they would have to get health cleared every time that they left
must
the property.
Must pass medical. Must pass medical anywhere you
is
go.
Is that right?
Must absolutely stay.
Okay. It's just something to look at anyway.
All things we can address in revisiting the ordinance.
Okay. You want to finish up with...
Chairman, I just wanted to make sure for the record that I state that it's my client's position, my position. We're not trying to get rid of background checks. No one wants to see any less of an effort put in verifying who these people are. $80 these days to get that background is awesome. I do it with every employee I have as an attorney. I think it's an incredible tool. I think they should be, you know, closely scrutinized. No one's asking for anything to change with how we do these background checks. We just want to make sure that we're applying it fairly and we're doing the interest of justice and also with the county's best interests in mind. And I'll leave it at that, sir.
I do have a question to the sheriff. I believe there was an applicant that, or someone that was working that failed their medical test. And
correct.
So their card was revoked.
Or yes.
Taken away. I don't know how that's
taken.
Phrased or whatever.
So then within
a couple days or...
The time period required, she waited and then passed the test.
She passed the test. So the sheriff was under the... You believe that she had to reapply for a new card? Or could you just reinstate her?
Well, that's not an issue that's on the agenda for today. But yes, there are issues.
When we're talking about changing rules or anything, was that an incident that we should look at?
Well, it says that the sheriff will seize all cards that previously issued. It doesn't say that it's an automatic give me back or anything like that. There's a whole lot more issues involved in that particular case that we can clarify as we revise the ordinances or
it
else.
Sounds like what we should look at.
We can discuss those specifically, but
okay.
That's not something that we need to get into here.
Okay, thank you.
And it is provided in the packet you have, that exact scenario. Thank you.
All right. I'll go one last time if there's any more public comment. Hearing none. Commissioner McGuffin.
Okay. I'll make a motion to direct staff, including legal counsel, to make recommended changes to the brothel ordinance.
I'd like you to include the sheriff and the licensee as well.
Well, it was staff. Okay. And I'll add the sheriff and the...
And who?
Well, we're going to get recommendations from the licensee, so we should get input from them.
I was going to say, if there's anything specific you would like us to look at, I think it would be good to spell it out now, too.
Well, I'd also...
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in there, though.
They just got a refresh on the ordinance this morning, so we can work with that. But I'd further like to ask, what's your definition of staff? I mean, the sheriff is an elected office, right. Obviously.
That's why I said, I said staff, legal counsel, the sheriff, and the licensee.
Okay. I don't need to get involved in this one.
Yeah, he's your staff.
So see.
Okay, so I'll...
Yeah.
Especially because you've got more history with this than anybody does.
Okay. Sure.
Okay. Again, I'll make a motion to direct staff, sheriff, licensee, and legal counsel to recommend changes to the brothel ordinance.
I'll second your motion. Okay, moved and second. All those in favor? Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Very good. All right.
Thank you,
gentlemen. Yeah. Okay, we're going to go ahead and adjourn as the Story County Brothel Board and reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. Next up is item number 23, discussion of possible action. Second reading for general business license. Applicant is Jonathan Dietrich, owner of a home-based business, the Supply SGT at 450 South East Street, Virginia City, Nevada. Sheriff Antonoro.
As the ordinance says, entry says it's a home-based business. It's governed by a federal firearms license. He's not going to have regular hours. It's going to be pretty much
specialty order items, but he's got all of his requirements in place. My understanding is he's good with planning, zoning, things like that, so we would recommend approval.
Very good. Is there any public comment regarding this general business license approval?
450 South. Where is that?
Well, if you go down Union Street, you turn right on East Street, which is
down by the school.
Beyond that.
450 South would be almost to the divide, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's up on the other side of the highway.
Okay. No public comment? Okay. We get a motion for approval.
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve the second reading, a general business license for Jonathan Dietrich, owner of the home-based business, the Supply SGT at 450 South East Street, Virginia City, Nevada.
I'll second your motion. We move to second to approve the second reading of the general business license. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Next up, item 24, discussion of possible action. First reading of ordinance number 18-279. Austin Osborne.
Chairman, Mr. Commissioners, Austin Osborne for the record. I would like to ask if we can hear items 24 through 31 together. They're all somewhat related. They're Title 16 subdivisions, Title 17 zoning, and related items with regard to fees, resolutions, design standards, etc. This is reposted because of some changes that have happened in the text, more Planning Commission meetings, and it's just better to post as much as we can possibly post so everybody knows what's going on with these important updates. All of the updates and the actual zoning updates and everything are on the website, have been. Everybody's aware of it up there. And so they're not included in this packet because it's not necessary. And the next one, they will be. So, again, I'm just going to ask if we can continue items 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, and 31 and continue them to the January 16, 2018 meeting of the Board of County Commissioners here at the courthouse at 10 o'clock a.m.
Very good.
And the Planning Commission does have yet to take action on this. That will occur likely this Thursday.
Very good. All right. Any public comment regarding this item? Hearing none, we can get a motion to continue with items, what did we say, 24 through 31 until January the 16th.
I'll make a motion to continue items 24 through 31, January 16th, 2018, in this courtroom at 10 a.m.
I'll second your motion. It's been moved and seconded to continue these items. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you. All right. Moving along now to item number 32. This is discussion and possible action. Division of large parcels, map 2017-055, by Reno Tahoe Industrial Center. The applicant is requesting a division of land into large parcels, file 2017-055. One existing large parcel over 40 acres will divide it into a total of three large parcels over 40 acres. The subject property extends west from USA Parkway, having assessor's parcel number 004-171-16, Story County, Nevada. The project is a division of parcel 2016-25. As shown on record of survey map number 125044, and as described in document number 125418, within portions of sections 28, 31, 32, 33, and 34. T19N, R23E, MDM. Kathy Canfield.
Good afternoon. So this is a division of land into large parcels. There's one parcel there that is 1,653 acres. They're proposing to create two additional parcels out of that, so there'll be three total remaining parcels if this is approved. This is on the west side of USA Parkway at the county line. The Planning Commission had recommended approval for this. One of the parcels we anticipate being for a potential fire station, and the other parcels would remain privately owned. We had two inquiries regarding the project itself, and we've talked to both of them. They were just interested in what the project was. They didn't have any concerns about it. In addition to that, the applicant's requesting that we waive the tentative map process and go right to approving the final map. And the applicant has the final map here today.
Okay. Let's take some public comment on this. We'd take it if we had some.
You said it was on the left-hand side.
West.
West.
Oh, okay. You sound like you said left.
West. Oh, well, left if I'm looking at west. West. Yes.
That's all right. I'll be your interpreter.
Okay.
I've had a cold, so I'm probably sounding stuffed up, too.
Was this part of the property that we annexed in from Washington County?
No.
No.
The opposite.
Oh, the opposite.
Oh, okay. It's the Lyon County line.
Oh, okay. That's right.
Yeah, thank you. Don't worry, I'll take care of you. Okay.
All right, once again, last public comment. Hearing none, do I need to get a motion for approval? Or was there findings of fact on this?
Findings? Yeah.
The findings of fact on this or not?
Yes, I do have some.
Okay, if you read the findings of fact for the motion for approval.
Okay. The applicant is requesting a division of land into large parcels, filed 2017-055. One existing large parcel over 40 acres will be divided into a total of three large parcels over 40 acres. The subject property extends west from USA Parkway, having assessor's parcel number 004-171-16, Story County, Nevada. The project is a division of parcel 2016-25, as shown on record of survey map number 125044, and as described in document number 125418, within portions of sections 28, 31, 32, 33, and 34, T19NR23E, MDM. The division of land into large parcels complies with NRS 278.471 through 278.4725 relating to the adjustment of one parcel to three parcels, all 40 acres or more in size. The division of land into large parcels complies with all federal, state, and county regulations pertaining to parcel maps and allowed land uses. The division of land into large parcels will not impose substantial adverse impacts or safety hazards on the abutting properties or the surrounding vicinity. The conditions of approval for the requested division of land into large parcels do not conflict with the minimum requirements in Story County Code Chapter 17.32, Forestry Zone, or any other federal, state, or county regulations.
Thank you.
Excuse me.
All right. I get a motion to approve this.
Okay. In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, the findings under Section 3.A of the staff report, and in compliance with all conditions of approval, I, Commissioner Jack McGuffey, hereby move to waive the requirement for filing a tentative map, and I hereby move to approve the final map division of land into large parcels, file number 2017-055. One existing large parcel over 40 acres will be divided into a total of three large parcels over 40 acres. The subject property extends west from the USA Parkway, having accessor's parcel number 004-171-16, Story County, Nevada. The project is a division of parcel 2016-25, as shown on the record of survey map number 125044, and as described in document number 125418, within portions of sections 28, 31, 32, 33, 34, T19NR23E, MDM.
Second to motion. Move to second to approve this parcel map. 2017-055. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 23, discussion of possible action. Division of large parcels map 2017-054 by Reno Tahoe Industrial Center. The applicant is requesting a division of land into large parcels, file number 2017-054. One existing large parcel over 40 acres will be divided into a total of three large parcels over 40 acres. The project is a division of parcel 2016-24 is shown on record of survey map number 125044 and as described in document number 125418 within portions of section 1, 2, 3, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 22, 23, 27, and 28, T19N, R24E, MDM. The subject property is located along USA Parkway at the Story-Lyon County line and extends northeast along the county boundary, having assesses parcel number 004-171-14, Story County, Nevada. Ms. Canfield.
All right. This is the property that's actually just across USA Parkway from the previous one. They're doing the same thing. They're carving out two additional lots out of this approximately 6,400-acre parcel that's there. They're creating two 40.01-acre parcels. One of these is anticipated to be for the communication towers that we were talking about earlier today. The other parcel is, if you were able to attend the grand opening ceremony for USA Parkway, this is where that piece of land was. The property's all zoned forestry. There's no change to the proposed zoning. And all three parcels will have access off USA Parkway. So, and again, the applicant's requesting that we that the board waive the tentative map requirement and go to approve a final map. Planning Commission recommended approval, and again, the same people that contacted us about the property across the street were just interested in what this was also. So they didn't have any concerns.
Okay, great. Thanks, Kathy. Any public comment? Hearing none, if you'd go ahead and read findings for the motion for approval.
Okay. The applicant is requesting a division of land into large parcels, file 2017-054. One existing large parcel over 40 acres will be divided into a total of three large parcels over 40 acres. The project is a division of parcel 2016-24, as shown on record of survey map number 125044, and as described in document number 125418, within portions of sections 1, 2, 3, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 22, 23, 27, and 28, T19N, R24E, MDM. The subject property is located along USA Parkway at the Story-Lyon County line and extends northeast along the county boundary, having assessor's parcel number 004-171-14, Story County, Nevada. The division of land into large parcels complies with NRS 278.471 through 278.4725, relating to the adjustment of one parcel to three parcels, all 40 acres or more in size. The division of land into large parcels complies with all federal, state, and county regulations pertaining to parcel maps and allowed land uses. The division of land into large parcels will not impose substantial adverse impacts or safety hazards on the abutting properties or the surrounding vicinity. The conditions of approval for the requested division of land into large parcels do not conflict with the minimum requirements in Story County Code Chapter 17.32 Forestry Zone or any other federal, state, or county regulations.
Thank you, Kathy. All right.
Ready?
I'm ready.
I'll make a motion. In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, the findings under Section 3.A of staff report and in compliance with all conditions of approval, I, County Commissioner Jack McGuffey, hereby move to waive the requirement for a filing of a tentative map, and I hereby move to approve the final map division of land into large parcels. File 2017-054. One existing large parcel over 40 acres will be divided into a total of three large parcels over 40 acres. The project is a division of parcel number 2016-24, as shown on record of survey map number 125044 and as described in document number 125418 within the portions of section 1, 2, 3, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 22, 23, 27, and 28, T19N, R24E, MDM. The subject property is located along USA Parkway at the Story and Lyon County line and extends northeast along the county boundary, having assessor's parcel number 004-171-14, Story County, Nevada.
All right. We have a motion. I'll second it. It's been moved and seconded to approve these large parcel maps 2017-054. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Very good. Moving on now to item number 34. This is discussion and possible action. These are business license second readings. Looks like we've got 26 of them today.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The Community Development is recommending that you approve all 26 as second readings as they are listed in the agenda and in your packet.
Very good. Yeah, he's got his on here this time, so mm-hmm. He's good to go.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, if we can get a motion. I'll ask if there's any public comment regarding these second readings of business licenses. Hearing none, if I get a motion for approval.
Yeah. I see on O on Eddie's, his name is misspelled.
No, I think the name of his company is Eddie Can Do.
Yeah, I think it's Eddie Can Do.
Oh, the business name.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
I didn't know about that. Okay. I'll make a motion to approve items A through Z.
And I'll second your motion. Moved and second to approve all items for the business license second readings, A through Z. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 35, public comment.
Happy New Year, gentlemen. Broken record, Mr. Toll from Gold Hill. Just reiterating previous public comments at the end of these wonderful meetings and pleading with you to consider opening public comments to the beginning of the meeting as well as the end of the meeting. Thank you.
Thanks, Sam. If we'd done that, you would have missed that too. So.
That's right.
Nicole Bard, Story County resident. I'd like to read a statement into the record, and also this is your copy. It came to my attention over the holidays that Commissioner Jack McGuffey has once again been spreading untrue rumors about the senior center. The first time that this happened was in 2017, and I had to have a clarifying conversation with Commissioner McGuffey in Pat Whitten's office, with Pat Whitten present. During that meeting, I asked Commissioner McGuffey to go back to everyone that he had told this rumor to and tell them that it was not true. I also asked that in the future, if he had any questions or concerns about the senior center, to come to me first. A couple of weeks ago, I was told that Commissioner McGuffey was telling people, quote, the senior center is missing $800, and Nicole Bard is the treasurer and can't handle money. When I heard this, I knew that it wasn't true, but had to speak to the center executive director, Stacy Gilbert, and ask her the question, are we missing $800? The answer is what I expected. No, Nicole, we are not. I can show you the accounts. Stacy was crushed that this false rumor had been put out there. Stacy Gilbert and her staff have worked tirelessly to strengthen and expand the senior center's services to provide more for more seniors. They have put in effective and transparent financial and inventory systems and have become a benchmark to other organizations on how to do fundraising. Significant improvements in the quality of food, service, activities, and events have been implemented and continue to this day. The center's board of directors have all jumped in to support Stacy and the center with countless hours of work. They all deserve better than this slap across the face by you. To be clear, the senior center is not missing any money. Please come and examine the books for yourself. Stacy Gilbert is a county employee, reporting to Sherry Niven, another county employee. Hugh Gallagher is the comptroller overseeing the center's finances, as he does with all other departments. It takes two board signatures to write a check. We have two people counting and logging cash when we have it, and we don't typically have more than $100 in cash. I am not the treasurer. I am the board chair. And some of the other board members and signatories on the accounts are Virginia Nevin, who is the treasurer, Ellie Curtis, and Edith Andreessen. Once again, Commissioner McGuffey, I ask that you go back to those to whom you've told this and tell them that it's not true. I also ask that if you hear anything concerning the center that concerns you, come to me or to go to Stacy Gilbert. Lastly, I tell you once again what I told you when we met in Whitten's office. If you want to come after me, just do it directly. Do not involve the senior center.
I don't know who I'm supposed to talk to. And I think Stacy is a great person running the senior center. I have nothing against Stacy. I don't think there's any money missing.
This was a direct quote from you to someone that you told that came and told
me. Who was that?
Concern. I'm not going to tell you that.
Okay.
Jack?
Okay.
I'm also not making this up.
Okay.
I'm merely
we'll
saying,
see.
You want to come after me, do it.
Okay.
Wear a cup.
Okay,
you
thank you. All right, that's good enough. Any other public comment?
Yeah.
Okay, this meeting is adjourned.